Welcome to the Satellite Evolution Global Podcast Series, where we explore all things satellite. In this episode, we will take a deep dive into asteroid 2024 YR4, a potential Earth impact in 2032. Let's get on with it. So, over to you, Hannah and Robert.
All right, so you guys sent over some pretty wild articles about this asteroid 2024 YR4. And it's been making headlines, yeah. So I figured we should do a deep dive into this thing, and I've got just the right expert here to help us unpack everything.
I'm ready.
Awesome. So I guess, you know, first things first, we got to rewind a little bit. 2024 YR4, it was discovered December 27th, 2024 by the ATLAS telescope in Chile. Like, how does something like that even go from like a blip on a screen to like, oh, this is something we need to worry about?
Yeah, it's not uncommon for us to discover new asteroids, you know, almost on a weekly basis at this point.
Yeah.
But the thing about 2024 YR4 is that, you know, early estimates put its size somewhere between 40 and 100 meters wide.
Wow, that's huge.
It is. Yeah. I mean, think about like the Statue of Liberty.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's about the size that we're talking about here. Wow. And what makes an asteroid of this size significant is that while impacts from something like this don't happen every day, you know, they have every few thousand years, they do have the potential to cause some pretty serious regional damage.
Okay, so we're talking like city flattening, not planet killing, luckily.
Exactly, yeah. More of a regional event.
So then like the early predictions were giving it like a 1.2% chance of impact, and then that got refined to 1.3% for December 22nd, 2032. Like, how do they even come up with those percentages? And like, how much should we be sweating a number like 1.3%?
Well, those are great questions. The way that astronomers come up with those impact probabilities is by taking all the observations that we have of the asteroid.
Yeah.
And really what we're trying to do is to pinpoint its trajectory as accurately as possible. And that means taking into account things like its speed, its direction, and the gravitational influence of all the other objects in the solar system.
You're telling me that these guys know where every object in the solar system is?
More or less.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I mean, obviously there's a lot of stuff out there, but we're getting pretty good at tracking the bigger objects and especially those that might pose a threat to Earth.
That's crazy. Okay. So you're saying that, you know, these early observations, they can be a little bit iffy, and that 1.3% really just reflects the uncertainty that we have about the asteroid's path.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like if you imagine trying to predict where a baseball is going to land after it's been hit, you know, if you only see it for a split second right after it leaves the bat, your prediction is going to be pretty uncertain, but as you watch the ball travel further and you get more data points, your prediction is going to get more and more accurate.
That makes sense. So is that kind of like what happened with that asteroid Apophis back in 2004,
yeah,
where like everybody was freaking out and then it turned out to be a nothing burger?
Yeah, that's a great example.
Yeah.
Apophis caused a lot of concern initially because the early calculations gave it, like you said, a pretty concerning chance of hitting us in 2029.
Mm-hmm.
But as we got more observations and we understood its orbit better, the risk basically went down to zero.
Okay, that makes me feel a little bit better. But even with that small percentage of 1.3%, this 2024 YR4 still managed to get a rating of 3 on the Torino scale. Remind me what that even means.
Yeah, so the Torino scale, it's basically a way to communicate the potential hazard of an asteroid impact to the public. And a 3 on the scale means that it's something that's worth paying attention to.
Right.
You know, it's worth astronomers keeping an eye on it, but it's not something that you need to lose sleep over.
Okay, so like don't panic, but pay attention.
Exactly. Yeah, it's like a yellow light, you know, proceed with caution, but no need to slam on the brakes.
Gotcha. Okay, so this whole situation, it's serious enough that it's like brought in some like pretty big players, like these UN-backed groups, IAWN and SMPAG. What are those?
Yeah, so IAWN stands for the International Asteroid Warning Network. And their job is basically to coordinate global observation efforts. So they're the ones that are making sure that we have as many telescopes as possible pointed at 2024 YR4 to get as much data as we can. And then SMPAG stands for the Space Mission Planning Advisory Group. And they're the ones that are responsible for figuring out what we would do if an asteroid was actually on a collision course with Earth.
So basically, IAWN is like the neighborhood watch.
Yep, that's a good way to put it.
And SMPAG is like the SWAT team.
Exactly. You got it.
Okay, so IAWN is watching and SMPAG is ready to go in and do something if something needs to be done.
Precisely.
Cool. So IAWN is keeping tabs on 2024 YR4. But I read that it's moving away from Earth right now, and that's making it harder to track. Is that going to be a problem?
It definitely makes things a little bit more challenging. The further away an asteroid is from Earth, the fainter it appears in our telescopes. So it takes more powerful telescopes and more sensitive instruments to be able to keep track of it. And there's actually a chance that 2024 YR4 could fade from view completely sometime in the next couple of years.
What? So we're just going to lose track of this thing.
Well, it's not like we're just going to forget about it. We know its orbit pretty well at this point, so we can predict where it's going to be in the future. But we might not be able to actually observe it directly until it gets closer to Earth again, which is predicted to happen around 2028.
So we've got like a 5-year window where we're just kind of like crossing our fingers and hoping for the best.
Not exactly. We're still going to be monitoring its trajectory using the data that we've already collected. And if it looks like it's still on a potentially hazardous path, we'll be ready to take action.
Okay, so it's like a cosmic game of hide and seek.
I guess you could say that.
We got a glimpse of it, now it's ducking out of sight for a bit, and we just got to be ready to find it again when it pops back up.
Exactly. And in the meantime, we're going to use all the information that we have to refine our predictions and make sure that we're prepared for whatever happens.
All right, so we've got a plan.
We do.
Okay. This whole situation reminds me of that DART mission back in 2022, where NASA basically just like crashed a spacecraft into an asteroid. Like, was that just for fun, or was there actually like a scientific purpose to that?
No, DART was a huge success. It was the first time that we've ever intentionally altered the trajectory of an asteroid.
Yeah.
And it proved that we have the capability to deflect an asteroid if we need to.
So, like, is that something that could be on the table for 2024 YR4? If it turns out that it's heading straight for us, could we just like ram another spacecraft into it and knock it off course?
It's definitely a possibility. But what DART really highlighted is the importance of early detection. The more time we have to prepare for a potential impact, the more options we have, and the easier it is to deflect an asteroid.
Yeah.
So those observations that IWN is coordinating, they're not just about knowing what's out there. They're about buying us time to react.
So we're talking years, not months.
Exactly.
Okay, so early detection is key.
Absolutely. It's our best defense.
Got it. So we've got a team of asteroid detectives constantly on the lookout. We've got a team of cosmic engineers figuring out how to play billiards with space rocks. And we've got a whole lot of data to crunch in the meantime.
It's a pretty good summary.
Well, I'm feeling a lot more informed now, I gotta say.
Yeah.
But before we get too carried away and start talking about building lasers and spaceships, I think we should probably take a quick break.
Sounds good.
We'll be right back after this.
Satellite Evolution Global Podcast Series is sponsored by Proactive International PR, one of the leading global technology and marketing agencies that delivers integrated communications campaigns.
You know, it's actually kind of crazy how often we're hearing about asteroids these days. It seems like every other week there's a new headline about some near-Earth object.
Right. Like, is it that there are just more asteroids out there now, or are we just getting better at finding them?
It's definitely the latter. Our technology for detecting and tracking asteroids has improved dramatically in recent years.
So, like, what kind of technology are we talking about here?
Well, for one, we have much more powerful telescopes now, like the ATLAS telescope that discovered 2024 YR4. And these telescopes are equipped with incredibly sensitive cameras and software that can automatically scan the skies for moving objects.
So it's not just guys sitting there staring through telescopes anymore.
Not exactly. There's still a lot of human involvement, of course. But these automated systems can sift through massive amounts of data and flag potential asteroids much faster than humans ever could.
That's pretty wild.
Yeah.
So once we've spotted something, how do we know if it's actually a threat? Like, how do we figure out its size, its trajectory, all that stuff?
Well, that's where things get really interesting. Once an asteroid is detected, astronomers start taking measurements, observing its movement, and using that data to calculate its orbit.
Okay, so it's like a cosmic game of connect the dots.
Exactly. And the more data points we have, the more accurately we can predict its path. And of course, its size is a critical factor too. We need to know how big it is to estimate the potential damage it could cause.
Right, because a tiny pebble isn't going to do much harm, but a giant boulder, that's a different story.
Precisely. And that's why groups like IAWU and SMPAG are so important. They bring together experts from around the world to analyze this data, share information, and basically create a profile of each potentially hazardous asteroid.
It's like having a global team of asteroid detectives.
Exactly. They're constantly monitoring, assessing risks, and developing strategies to deal with any potential threats.
So it's not just about finding these asteroids, it's about figuring out what to do if one is heading straight for us.
Absolutely. And that's where things get really exciting. There are a number of different deflection techniques that scientists are researching and testing.
Okay, spill the beans. What are these techniques? Are we talking lasers, spaceships, Bruce Willis drilling into the core?
Well, some of those ideas are a little more Hollywood than reality, but there are some very promising options. One that's already been proven is the kinetic impactor, which is basically what NASA did with the DART mission.
Right, just ram a spacecraft into it and knock it off course.
It's a bit more complicated than that, but that's the basic idea. Another option is using a spacecraft's gravity to gently tug the asteroid off course over time.
Wait, gravity, like using a spaceship as a giant cosmic magnet.
It's not quite a magnet, but the principle is similar. By positioning a spacecraft near an asteroid, we can use its gravitational pull to very slightly alter the asteroid's trajectory.
That's mind-blowing. So it's like a cosmic game of tug of war using gravity.
Exactly. And then there's the nuclear option, which is kind of the last resort.
Okay, now we're talking. Nukes in space.
It's not as dramatic as it sounds. Detonating a nuclear device near an asteroid could vaporize part of its surface, creating a thrust that pushes it away from Earth.
So it's like giving the asteroid a little rocket boost, but in the opposite direction.
Precisely. But of course, there are a lot of risks and ethical considerations with using nuclear weapons in space.
Yeah, I can imagine. It's a lot to think about, all these different options and the potential consequences.
It definitely is. Planetary defense is a complex field that involves science, technology, politics, ethics, international cooperation. It's a truly multidisciplinary effort.
It really makes you realize just how interconnected everything is, doesn't it?
It does, and it highlights the importance of working together to address these global challenges.
Okay, so we've talked about the technology, the strategies, the international cooperation, all very impressive. But I gotta ask just how many of these asteroids are out there, and how many are actually a threat to us?
That's a good question. Astronomers estimate that there are millions of asteroids in our solar system. But thankfully, only a very small fraction of those come close enough to Earth and are large enough to be considered potentially hazardous.
Okay, that makes me feel a little bit better. But still, a small fraction of millions is still a lot of space rocks to keep track of.
It is. And that's why we need to continue investing in research, technology, and international collaboration to stay ahead of the game.
So it's like a cosmic arms race.
You could say that. We're constantly learning more, developing new technologies, and improving our defenses.
You know, before we started this deep dive, I'll admit I didn't really think much about asteroids. I guess I thought they were more of a science fiction thing, not something I actually needed to worry about in my lifetime.
I think a lot of people feel that way. But the reality is that asteroid impacts have shaped our planet's history, and they will continue to be a factor in our future.
So, should we be losing sleep over 2024 YR4 or asteroids in general?
I don't think we need to panic, but we do need to be aware of the risks and support efforts to protect our planet.
So, not about living in fear, but about being informed and prepared.
Exactly. It's about respecting the power of nature, understanding the risks, and taking steps to mitigate them.
I like that, respecting the power of nature. Okay, so we're not heading for the bunkers just yet, but we're keeping an eye on the skies.
Precisely. And we're continuing to learn and innovate to ensure a safe and sustainable future for humanity.
I'm feeling much more informed now, but I have to ask, before we wrap up, what's the one thing you think everyone listening should take away from all this?
I think the key takeaway is that while 2024 YR4 may not turn out to be a major threat, it's a reminder that we live in a dynamic and sometimes dangerous universe. We need to be prepared, and that means continuing to invest in science, technology, and international collaboration.
So stay informed, keep an eye on the skies, and maybe brush up on your asteroid deflection techniques just in case.
Exactly. You never know when that knowledge might come in handy.
Okay, folks, on that note, I think we've reached the end of our deep dive into asteroid 2024 YR4. It's been quite a journey. We've covered everything from the discovery and tracking to the potential risks and the amazing efforts underway to keep Earth safe.
It's been a pleasure sharing this information with you and your listeners.
And a huge thank you to you for being our guide through this cosmic adventure. It's been fascinating and enlightening.
It's been my pleasure.
That is all for this episode. Until next time, stay connected.